I won't take much time. Back in home, we don't have a clock. I'm glad there is no clock over here. And we keep calendar and turn over the calendar and preach the word of God. I'm afraid to do that because I need your support. So I will not take. I will take only 10 minutes and 10 to 12 minutes and finish in time. I'd like to read a passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 11. This is a testimony of Apostle Paul. Whenever you get time, you can see that as Paul was sharing all the persecutions and problems he has gone through his life. Then finally he come across, think about when he was sent out from Damascus. So read this verse from verse 31, verse 30 onwards. Chapter 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 30. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall, and escaped his hands. I like to think from verse 33, and through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall, and escaped his hands. The Holy Spirit wants us to know how he escaped from Damascus. You know the story. Paul, his name was Saul. He was against the preaching of God's word, against Christians. He was guarding the cloth of the people, those who stoned Stephen. Then he took a company of people, went to Damascus in order to put all the Christians into jail. But as he was approaching to Damascus, Jesus Christ met with him. And he changed his life. And you know the story. He went inside and the town. And Ananias came and prayed, and Apostle Paul became born again. He went to persecute the church, but God changed his life. He became preacher of the gospel. That's what happened. If any man or woman in Christ is a new creation, thank God the day Jesus Christ came to my life. He changed my life. He made me a new person. He brought new things to my life. I know I have a new master, new goal in my life. He just bought me with his precious blood. He planted from the family of devil into God's family. I can call him Abba Father. Changed my life, everything. So Paul, he been changed from persecuting, from Christian to preacher of the gospel. But as he was preaching the gospel in Damascus, the wisdom he preached, no Jews could withstand the wisdom he preached. So they really upset with Paul. And they just got attention of the governor, said that he is bringing a lot of trouble in the Judaism. So we have to put an end for this preaching. So the governor placed day and night a lot of guards somehow to apprehend or catch Paul and put him in jail or kill him. Everywhere there was guard placed in Damascus. When one member of the body of Christ get hurt, everyone get hurt. The word I just read over here, I'm going to put some sanctified thoughts, not out of context. So there's a small unknown group of Christians gathering in Damascus. They began to realize the Paul's life in jeopardy. We need to help him. Maybe they gather one day for evening meetings. Someone said, we need to try to help Paul, otherwise the governor catch him, kill him, that will be the end of it. So how can we help them? So maybe one of the men says, you know, I have a plan. I have a house built upon the wall of Damascus. And I'm willing to open my house if somebody can bring Paul to my home. I'm willing to open my door for him to come in my home. Not only that, it happened to me there was a window which can open outside of the wall. So if somehow he can escape it, I'm willing to open my home for him. You know, that's like a Baptist meeting. Somebody said, you're kidding, because his life is already in jeopardy. Now you open the window, he jump out, he'll commit suicide. And one of the older ladies said, gentlemen, don't talk too much. But let me tell you, I have a basket in my home. I have a basket in my home. I'm willing to sacrifice that basket for him. If some of you have got some rope, if you can bring it, we can try to help him. Somehow we can tie the basket and let down through the window, he can be escaped. So they planned and they programmed the small, unorganized small body, unnamed group of people, they gather in that house. The particular time Paul came, the elderly lady brought the basket. Some brought the rope. And they looked around, who is going to help us, even just holding the rope. They're looking around, maybe a couple of big heavyset people like me. And they looked, they saw the couple of men, said, we will help them. So they came and they just took the basket and kept. And Paul was looking at their face. Men, I'm depending on you. Don't leave me. If you leave, I will have a bad crash. But the men said, no, I'm going to hold you. We'll hold you. No worry. With a prayer, they sent Paul. The word of God says, through a window in a basket was I let down by the water. And they escaped his hands. Here is my point. But this unnamed group of Christians never ever thought they were sending the greatest missionary ever lived in this globe. They never ever thought that they were sending the greatest missionary ever lived in this globe. What was the offering? A small basket, some rope, somebody shared the strength, and somebody really prayed behind him. Paul, you know, as he just eventually came to Jerusalem, people were afraid of him. But Barnabas took an arm around him, brought him to fellowship. Then just they've been just moved to Antioch. By the Holy Spirit, Barnabas and Paul were separated to the mission work to the Gentiles. And Paul took the missionary journey to the Asian part, Asia Minor. He'd been able to travel many places and been able to just travel and preach the word of God. People been saved and he planted churches. Who sent Paul? An unnamed group of Christians from Damascus. Sometimes we do work many times for our name. It is not for our name. His ministry and mission must be accomplished. This unnamed group of Christians sent Paul, and Paul being able to start churches in all across Asia. As you turn your Bible to Acts chapter 16, there came a time God said, Paul, stop preaching in Asia. As you see, chapter 16, verse 6, the word of God says, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Paul was taking this group of people and preaching the word. Now suddenly the Holy Spirit asked him not to preach in Asia. Paul's desire was to go to the interior part of Asia to start and preaching the word of God, winning more souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. But now God is changing his mission trip. And the word of God, he says, after they were come to Mysia, they assayed into Bethania. But the Spirit suffered them not. Paul, as he was coming from Galatia and preaching the word of God, the Holy Spirit said, no more preaching. But he was planning to go to other part of Asia because his heart desire was to go to the interior part of Asia and preaching the word of God. But the Holy Spirit suffered him not to preach. Then verse 9 says he had a vision. And the vision says someone calling from Macedonia, verse 9, and prayed him saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. What happened? I began to think about why God did not give the vision prayer to closing the door in Asia. Many times, in our zeal and our arc and endurance, we try to do. But God has a plan and program for each and everyone's life. Now from Asia, he turned his mind. God called him to Macedonia. Eventually, you know the story, Paul and the group. The last verse I'd like to read from chapter 16, verse 10. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. It's very interesting to see verse 10. The pronoun being changed. Paul saw the vision. He communicated to the group. And they are just telling, as he had seen the vision, immediately we, the whole group, endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuring that God has called them. It's like a local church as the pastor and the leadership, just standing, everyone standing behind the leadership, accomplishing the great task which God has given to the church. Paul saw the vision as he just shared, the whole group working hard and knowing that God has called them to preach the gospel into Europe. You know the story, Paul came to Philippi and Lydia got saved. The Asian lady saved in Europe. Then you know the story of Philippian jailer and churches being planted in Europe. Who sent Paul? The unnamed group of Christians. You know, your prayer, your support sometimes goes when beyond your generation. This unnamed group of Christians never thought they were sending the greatest missionary ever lived in globe. They were sending him. Because of him, Asia been preached the gospel. Europe been preached the gospel. Years passed. Think about Europe became in a springboard to get gospel to America. And God mightily used this country to send thousands of missionaries across the globe to reach out. What an impact. And graciously God working for one man to one group and one country and furthering the gospel. Even because of this unnamed group of Christians, they were willing to send Paul. Even tonight, we are blessed. If they were not willing to send Paul, at least 14 epistles, including Hebrew, would not be written in this book. Sometimes we undermine what God can do with our gifts and prayer. They were willing to send, and Paul being able to write that 14 epistles over here, today we can read it. Someone risked their life. Someone was willing to go. Someone got willing to give. Thank God, we enjoy. I praise God for the missionary doctor who came to India. Four widows took the money to build that tuberculosis sanatorium. God blessed me with tuberculosis. Today, if I am not mistaken, over 150,000 plus people attending every Sunday morning for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. With God, all things are possible. How is your mission work today? You may be giving, praying. You may be saying, I'm willing to open my home. But I have a basket I can give. I will hold the rope. And maybe someone will say, I would like to sit in that basket. Here am I, Lord, send me. God calling people all across the world. It's a vast mission bill. India will overtake China year 2011. Let me tell you, that means 1.5 billion people are going to live in that small subcontinent of India land, which means almost five times more people than the United States and one-third size of country. Very few of them are Christians. Maybe less than 2 million born-again Christians. We need to reach India. We need much prayer. Pray with us. Pray for us. Maybe in Tampa, this area, people need to come to know Christ. Maybe someone here say, I'm going to pray. I'm going to witness. I'm going to share the gospel. I'm going to hold the basket. I'm going to hold the rope. But I'm going to sit in that basket. Lord, here am I. Send me. God bless you.
An encouraging message for those of us that are given in faith promise missions. We give over and above our tithes and offerings. It's a wonderful thing to see what our small investment is able to do in India, where brothers like G.S. Nair and others are faithfully serving the Lord. I think you have to look at the great movement that is there and realize in America, the prosperity has really ruined, I believe, the churches. We've lost our passion. We've lost our compassion. And perhaps what God is doing in America right now is we're watching, quote, the American dream almost become a nightmare. Perhaps in the midst of the dream is an opportunity. An opportunity to make sure that we understand that the only lasting treasure we'll ever have is that which is in heaven and the souls that we've influenced. Would you bow your head and let's close with a word of prayer tonight. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I want to give you an opportunity to consider what you can give. We're not going to take up an offering tonight. We have our honorarium that we're going to give this brother. But are you being faithful in your tithes and offerings? this ministry goes forward only as the people are faithful. And then add to that, not only tithes and offerings, but because we're a faith promise church, the giving of our people to missions is central to our being able to carry out the Great Commission. And I want to ask you tonight, will you reconsider your investment in the gospel? Not just what you're giving financially, but what about the souls that are around you? The neighbor, the kid at school, the one that you work beside every day. Have they seen a difference that Christ can make in your life? I'm going to ask Pastor John if he's in here. Let's just do a verse. Maybe there's some parents here tonight that say, boy, my kids are going to camp. And I want to pray for God to do a great work. Maybe some of our young people are going to consider God's call to missions to serve Him. Or maybe God's moving on your heart tonight to give. To give. To set aside in that which God has given you a portion for missions. Let's stand. Father, as we bow before you and have this one verse of an invitation, Lord, I pray that there would be a tenderness in our hearts. We thank you for the great work and that which has been done in India, but we know that the souls that will never hear are tens of millions. Lord, even here in the States, we would have to admit how oft we fail. So, Lord, we pray that this one verse will be one of dedication in Christ's name.